You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Foodstuffs is rolling out a facial recognition trial to identify and deter shoplifters. Many have criticized such use of facial recognition technology, noting that it is a slippery slope and can encroach on people's privacy. I talked to Associate Professor at the University of Auckland's Department of Commercial Law, Gehan Gunasekara, about the potential benefits and issues with utilising this technology and possible actions the government should take in protecting privacy. What does Foodstuffs facial recognition technology trial purport to do, and how does it work?
Well, from the reported comments, my understanding is that this is a trial, so it's not by all means going to be rolled out universally following the trial. The trial is to see whether it's effective and any problems that are encountered. It's going to basically capture people's, well, there are already CCTV cameras in most supermarkets nowadays, but this is going to be facial recognition camera. So that's a different type of technology, called biometric technology. It means that people can be identified just from their face. And we know that these systems, on the one hand, are very effective. You know, even if you try and hide your face or put a mask or sunglasses or whatever, they work on biometrics. So they look at the distance between your nose and your mouth or something like that, and they can identify features in that way. But there's also research that system struggles with some types of people, for example, people of color, especially women of color. So we need to be cautious about using these technologies, because there's nothing worse than identifying someone as a shoplifter or a violent individual when it's a mistaken identity, and then the person could be stigmatized, humiliated, a whole manner of things. Imagine if that's you, that somebody comes up to you and says, excuse me, will you come outside with me because we think you're one of these people that's been excluded.
What are some of the possible benefits of the use of this technology?
Well, I'm certainly not against the use of the technology per se. I think that in this instance, if the claimed mischiefs that have been occurring, and we need to see statistics for that. We've heard about significant increase of violent attacks inside supermarkets, perhaps not just for Woolworths, but Woolworths has claimed that there are violent attacks on its staff, and also that there's a huge rise in the incidence of shoplifting and the retail crime, and we know that that's a problem across the country. These are legitimate uses, and I think if a compelling case can be made that facial recognition and excluding people who are perpetrating these acts, and it's only a small number of individuals, but if those individuals are excluded, that would make people feel safer when they're shopping, and it would perhaps bring costs down for all shoppers, then that's a valid, legitimate purpose. So I don't have a problem with that. That is a benefit, clear benefit, but it needs to be proven. I think that's the issue. So at the moment, there is this study that's going to be a trial, and it's going to be in conjunction with an inquiry by the Privacy Commissioner. So the Privacy Commissioner is using his powers to launch an inquiry to run alongside this trial by Woolworths, and then at the end of the trial, they'll be able to say, did it actually work? Was there less shoplifting? And were there no attacks or much fewer attacks of a violent kind? So then, then we can actually see whether the technology worked. If it doesn't, if it doesn't make any difference, then in future people would say, well, why use the technology then?
Speaking on also possible discrimination, what are some of the other possible concerns you have surrounding this technology?
Well, we know from the reported news this week and today specifically that Countdown is going to also collect information about, or Woolworths rather, is going to collect automatic number plate information. So every time you drive into the parking lot, your number plate will be scanned, and that information is also going to be collected along with people's voice and video footage of people inside the supermarket. Now, what they made very clear is that those things are only going to be used for security and retail crime prevention, not for other purposes. That's what they say, and that's what it says on the privacy statement, which I've had a look at. Now, that is encouraging that they're not going to extend those technologies to wider purposes, because obviously there's a potential to match a license plate with an individual, and then you'd know who has actually just driven into the Woolworths car park. And then you could actually match that with the items that they buy when they scan their rewards card. But they're not going to do it for those purposes. They're only going to do it, so they say, for security and crime prevention. Now, we need to be careful about that, and we need to watch to make sure that we hold the line on that, because there's always the danger of mission creep. Give a year or two, they do say the privacy policy can be changed from time to time, and that people need to be aware that the website will advise when there are changes. So we need to be watchful, and hopefully the Privacy Commissioner will watch to see. There's always a danger of what I call mission creep, where start doing these things for a very legitimate purpose, preventing crime, and then with time it might become convenient to find out who's actually shopping and then maybe target special offers to them or something like that. And if that happens, then I think people need to say, hang on a minute, this is now you're using this technology for something that we didn't sign up to.
What is your opinion if other organisations, also in the private sector, adopt this technology for their own purposes?
Yes, well, that's the other concern I have. The Woolworth trial is, as I said, a legitimate. They've made a compelling, legitimate case for it. It's to prevent a serious problem. That's fine. The Privacy Act allows that. But we need to be careful that here there's not a slippery slope, and that once the technology is rolled out, other companies might say, oh, well, we can use it for monitoring our employees, or we can use it to see how employees are behaving towards other employees, or maybe just to monitor human behavior. So, the companies that provide this technology are basically providing answers even when there are no problems. So we need to be careful that the technology is not driving people to make up spurious claims for why they need to use the technology. But use can always be found. You can always say, this might be convenient. If we can identify somebody, then yes, maybe we can target them with better offers, or maybe we can pitch products to them depending on their age. Maybe we can analyze their face to see what kinds of products they might like. So I have concerns about the use of biometric technologies in other areas that are not to do with safety or security. And I think, as I say, mission creep is a very dangerous thing, and it needs to be guarded against. Now, to some extent, the horse has already bolted, because you may be aware that Westfield uses billboards that have facial recognition built into them, which supposedly don't hang on to or collect and store personal information, but clearly they have the capability for that because they already have the license plate collection app, so they know who it is who is parked in their car park. But the fear that I have with those Westfield billboards is that they pitch ads to people based on how they feel, so they have emotion analysis, age analysis. Now, I've actually tested the billboards. I've stood in front of it and just to see what kind of ads get targeted. Now, that's collecting my face, which is personal to me, and it's using that for a specific purpose, to pitch ads. Now, I don't think that is a legitimate use of facial recognition technology. I think we need to keep facial recognition technology for, really serious mischiefs, like preventing retail crime, preventing violence. But once we open the door and say they can use it for any purpose, including pitching ads, and they'll produce studies that say people don't mind that, but I mind. And there are a lot of people who would say, well, that's none of their business. If I want to buy something, I'll buy it based on if I'm being targeted because they can tell from my face that I'm sad or happy, then they're using my emotions against me, essentially, in a way that is very intrusive, because your face is very sensitive. It's part of your biology, and you can do without your credit card. You can always get a new credit card, but you can't get a new face. People's face and their features and so on, including the emotions that the face might reveal, are quite sensitive, and I think we need to be careful about using this technology for other purposes. So I'd be opposed to the use of facial recognition for other related purposes. So we need to guard against that and put some red lines or limitations in place.
Are there any possible mechanisms, either governmental or in the private sector, you suggest to avoid a slippery slope and privacy invasion?
No, well, that's a very good question. You might be aware, so currently there is a proposal for a biometric code of practice. So the Privacy Act allows specific regulation of certain types of sectors and technologies. It allows the Privacy Commissioner to issue a code of practice, which essentially, in some cases, overrides the Privacy Act, or it replaces the Privacy Act with setting specific rules for that particular industry. So, for example, there's already one for the health information privacy field. So, you know, people who are hospitals and healthcare providers have to comply with those specific rules, which are more specific than the rules in the Privacy Act. And I think there are other, there's a code for superannuation. There's a credit reporting privacy code that gives people rights to access their credit scores and so on. So in a similar way, I understand the commissioner is proposing to have a code of practice governing biometric technologies. And I think that is well overdue, and I encourage the commissioner to go ahead and issue a code. The moment he's asking for public consultation, so I encourage members of the public to make their views known to the privacy commissioner. Obviously, the tech companies we'll be pushing hard in the opposite direction to say, nothing to worry here. You can trust us to regulate ourselves, and you already have the Privacy Act, and that's enough. No, sorry, the Privacy Act isn't enough. We need to have a more specific biometric code, and it needs to stop people doing things like the facial recognition for marketing purposes, like the Westfield facial recognition advertising billboards, for example. Those things should not be allowed.
Reading about the article, I was a bit like, oh, so if they've already got my information, then okay.
Yeah, and their argument, the Westfield's argument, is that they're not actually, that because they're not using it, you're not linking it to you, your identity, or anything like that. They're just using it to pitch an ad, and then the ad disappears, and the next person walks in front of it, and then that person gets an ad. So their argument is that that's not personal information, but that's clearly wrong. And it's my view, and I believe it's also the view of the Privacy Commissioner, that your face is your personal information, you know, because the Act doesn't define what personal information is. The Privacy Act says personal information can take any form. It can be a photograph, it can be a driver license number, it could be any number of things that could be linked back to you. And the fact that they're collecting people's faces, that is personal information. So, and there's overseas case law that establishes that. So, so I think, you know, companies like Westfield need to be especially careful. But I think that the sooner we have guidance through a code of practice, then it'll help the companies, and it'll also help individuals, because everyone will then understand what they can and can't do. At the moment, it's carte blanche. We can get away with anything, so we'll just do it. I think that that's a dangerous kind of Wild West mentality, and we need to move away from that. There's political pressures involved. This is why, and the good thing is the commissioner is not a politician. The Privacy Commissioner is an independent official, and hopefully he'll act in the public interest and do the right thing and push back against pressure from powerful business. So the good thing about our Privacy Act is it leaves the drawing up of a code to the commissioner, doesn't leave it to the politicians, and obviously we know politicians can be lobbied. And that doesn't mean the commissioner won't be lobbied, but he doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't have to be influenced by the lobbyists. So I encourage him to stand firm. And the other thing is, I would say, is that the Act is working in the way that we want, because the Act now has powers. The commissioner, irrespective of his powers to adopt a code of practice, can investigate Woolworths, as he's doing. And if at the end of the trial he thinks that their practices are not up to speed, then he can issue a what's called a compliance notice. And the compliance notice will say you need to do, if you want to continue doing this, you need to do X, Y, Z. And failure to comply with that attracts a fine. So there's actually powers under the Privacy Act now to impose fines. Now, we won't go into the fact that the fines are pretty paltry by national standards, but they still provide some kind of deterrent, because no company wants to be fined because of the bad publicity that would lead to. So that isn't, to that extent, an effective deterrent. It means that the commissioner does have some powers, whereas under the old Act, you know, he could only make recommendations. He couldn't actually make any definitive rulings, but now he can. So this is a good thing, that the 2020 forms of the Privacy Act, at least they move things in a positive.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.